people, what a God we serve. I mean, there's no one like your God. Don't ever let anyone put any deity, if they want to say deity, on the side of our Lord and Savior, ever. Don't allow that to happen. There's no one like him. There's no one like him. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. It's okay. No, that's nothing. Amen. It's okay. Amen. Let's take our Bibles and make our declaration before him. Say, this is life.
This is life.
I will honor it today. As this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Before we get started, we need to pray for James Tuchet. That God just needs to touch his body. We need to pray for Neil that comes here. He's having surgery this week. We need to pray for Ron that wasn't able to make it today. That's hurting. So if you would just lift up your hands. Father, we come before you. And Lord God, we lift up Ron and we lift up Neil and we lift up James, Lord God. And Father, we pray for total restoration of the blood of Jesus upon their lives, total restoration of their bodies. Father, touch them and make them whole, Lord God. Your anointing and your power to be upon their hearts and upon their lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, amen. Well, I tell you what, isn't it a beautiful day?
Amen.
You know, every time bad weather comes in, I say, Lord, spare us. I mean, really, you know, and I tell you what, it might have come through, we kind of get here, but I mean, you know, for church, because, you know, we want people to be in church on Sunday mornings and to hear the word of the Lord and to hear what God is doing in the hearts and lives. So, you know, we thank God for this beautiful day. Amen. If you would, please turn to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Jesus was born till he was about 30 years of age. We know that he was a carpenter. That's what he did. His father did that. It was given unto our Lord and Savior Jesus to do that. And for those 30 years, that's what he did, basically. He was a carpenter. And about 30 years of age, we know that it says that John the Baptist, what, baptized him. And when he baptized him, it says when he came up that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him as a dove. It was just gentle. That means it was just a gentle, it was the Holy Spirit coming and confirming that this is the Messiah, this is the Lord, this is the Savior. And his ministry started there as far as public ministry. And for 3.5 years, he went around all the area of Galatia, Caesarea, all those areas, Corinthian area, all those areas, preaching and teaching the word of God. And people came to him from all areas. I mean, you know, Jesus tried to get away on a ship, they follow him. I mean, really. When he got on the other side, they were there with mattresses, carrying people. They were just there because they knew that he was a Savior. They may not have believed that he was the Savior, some of them, but some of them may have. But that they would come and he'd pray with them and heal them and give them hope and feed them and just giving unto them. That's the power of our God. Look, we don't serve a little God. We serve a great God. Amen. And let me tell you, go to him with great things and see what God can do.
Yeah.
He can change things around. He can change things in our hearts and lives. Give us victory in every area of our life. That's the power of Almighty God. And he went around doing all these things. But in the midst of starting at 30 years of age of ministry, you know, starting that, It says that he went and he chose his 12 disciples. Now, that's what I want to pick up and read. It says, and it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples. And of them he chose 12, whom also he named, and he names them all. Well, this is what I want to say is this. By the time Jesus started to pick his 12, and those were the 12 guys that he picked, were the ones that would continue the ministry upon the earth when he was gone. Now, you might say, well, it says that he came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray. Now, that's an amazing thing. You know, here we see the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, he went to pray to the Father. That's a lesson for us. I know I've taught you this. We go through Jesus, but we pray to the Father. That's how it's done. We use his name to get to the Father. He's like I said one time, Jesus is the one that signs the check. Okay? So we go to the Father and we pray and we seek him, but we go through the avenue and the door of Jesus Christ, the one that paid the price on Calvary's cross. And as we go to him and we make our petitions before him, it opens up the door because we're coming in the name above all names, the only door, the only key that unlocks the door to the Father. That's Jesus Christ. And it says that Jesus went to pray to the Father. Because you see, at that time, they had, some speculate, as you read different versions of the Bible and what they're thinking, some speculate at this time he might have had like 50 or 100 people, disciples, just there gathering around about him. So out of the 12, he had to pick, let's say there was 100. He went to the mountain to pray. And he says, Father, which 12 out of the 100? Or which 12 out of the 50? See, that's a lesson for us to learn. We go to the Father continuously. Look, the Father's wisdom far outweighs our wisdom. The Father's knowledge of his word far outweighs our knowledge. That's the power of our God. That's the power of Almighty God. And look, we go to him, and he answers our prayers according to his word and according to what he wants us to have. And he went up there to pray and to seek the Father. And he comes down, and they say there's 100 there. And he starts to pick them. You, Peter, James, John. And he gathers those 12 men to be around about him, that they will carry him. People, we have so much going on in our lives. We need the power of God to help us. We need the power of God. We need the power of God to raise our children. Oh, God. We need the power of God upon our jobs. My God. We need the, most of all, that's all important, and that's true. But, Lord, we need the power of God in our churches, too. We need the power of Almighty God. The presence of Almighty God. I mean, here we were, you know, we get here early, 8 o'clock. And, you know, we gather together to pray and to seek God. And, you know, somebody had a word for us. The power of Almighty God. Saying, go forth. You are the light of the world. Go forth. Look, there's people out there that need to hear the adequate word of the Lord. They need to hear how Jesus can save their souls. He's the only one. We're the ones at the door that can stop people from going to a place that is not good. Hell, the only answer is Jesus. And we got to keep telling. We got to keep proclaiming. We got to keep telling people it's Jesus and him alone, the only door. The only back door, well, you said, where's the front door? That's the front doors. The only back door to this building was right there. That's it. That's your door. Yeah, that's the way she comes in. There's only one door. There's only one door to the Father, people. And look, we gotta proclaim it. We gotta proclaim it. Who he is. Jesus went up that mountain and prayed and came down and chose the ones that would herald out the word of God when he left. We know he chose Peter, James, John, Andrew, Bartholomew, James, the last or younger, Judas, Jude, Matthew, or Levi, Philip, Simon, and Thomas. And in the end, when Judas messed up, Matthias came in. And so even in Jesus picking up the 12, he made a mistake. No, he didn't make a mistake. See, God says, whoever will, whoever shall come, whoever will come, call upon my name and I will answer you. Whoever will come. He chose, hoping that he, Judas, would make the right decision and do what's right. See, the mercy of God is so evident, people, in every one of our lives. The mercy in the presence of God. Now look at this. I want you to turn to Mark chapter 8, please. Matthew, Mark chapter 8. Look at this. Look at verse 27. Here, the disciples, now these 12 apostles, disciples, had come, and Jesus, wherever Jesus went, oh, just about all 12 of them would go. Every once in a while, there was three of them that would go up with him to certain places. But most of the time, all 12 would stand around about him, and Jesus would try to teach them, because he knew his ministry hinged on them when he left, when he would resurrect from the dead, that they would be the 12 that would firm hold the ministry of his, of himself, to give out to the people. And so he tried to give them everything he could to teach them and to help them. That's just like our God. People, God holds nothing back from us. If you want more of God, he'll give you more. If you want more of the knowledge of his word, he'll give you more. As you study that scripture, the power of Almighty God is there for us, no matter what. And here we go. Look at verse 27. It says, and Jesus went out and his disciples unto the towns of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, he asked his disciples, saying unto them, whom do men say that I am? And they answered, John the Baptist. Some say Elijah, and others one of the prophets. And he said unto them, but whom say you that I am? And Peter answered and said unto him, you are Christ. And he charged them that they should tell no man of him. Jesus is walking with his disciples, with people. And Jesus just turns to all 12 of them and says, who are they saying I am? Well, you know, some say you're Elijah, some say you're one of the old prophets that has come alive, and they name all kinds of people. They all name all kinds of things. And Jesus, after they answered him, they didn't realize he was going in this direction. But there was a reason why. He turns to them and he says, but who do you say I am? Now, at this time, they had been with Jesus a lot. It was close to him being crucified. It was only months away, people, from him being crucified. So they had been with him at least 3 years. Because his ministry lasted 3.5 years. It was a few months, 2 to 3 months, before he was to be crucified. So they were with him at least 3 years on the calendar. Just listening to Jesus day in and day out, listening to his teaching, seeing how Jesus would feed the 5,000, seeing how Jesus would heal the blind man, seeing how Jesus would have compassion and love, and see how Jesus would come against the religious groups and tell them the truth. And he turns to them after they told him who the people were saying. He said, but who do you say I am? Who am I? I want to ask you the same question. Who is Jesus to you today? Who is he to you? Who is he to you this day? And you know, Peter, you know, you can read in scriptures, Peter had a big mouth. And Peter would put his foot in his mouth And that's why he probably answered first, because he was looking probably at all 12 of them. Say, who do you say that I am? And really, he was saying it with a urgency, saying it with compassion, saying it with intensity towards him. He wanted to know. God knows everything, okay? God knew what they were thinking. God knew what they were doing. God knew where they were in their relationship to him. God knew the ones that were sold out to him and the ones that weren't. He knew the ones that were on the border of the fence. Because you see, when he asked them, who do they say that I am? That means those 12 disciples, when they started answering him, saying Elijah, one of the old prophets and all that, that means they were hearing, those 12 were hearing what they were saying. And he wanted to know, do you believe? See, do we believe he's just one of the old prophets? Do we believe that he is just Elijah raised from the dead? Do we believe those things? See, the constant agony, if you want to say, the constant play from the world, playing things on our minds, is what we're going to believe if we don't get in that word. We don't want to become anemic to the word of God. We want to know that word so that we act and do according to the word of the Lord. And it's, he said, who do you say that I am? Because he wanted to know. He wanted to make sure that he was their Messiah. He was their Lord. He was their God. And it says, Peter answered, go with the big mouth. It says, you are Christ. Christ means Messiah, King, the Messiah of the world. Man, you might say, well, did that please the Lord? That was an A-plus answer. See, who is Jesus to us? Yes, he's our provider. Yes, he's our comforter. Yes, he is the one that leads us. Yes, he's the one that guides us. Yes, he's the one that gives us wisdom. Yes, he's the one that goes before us and protects us from the evil one. My God. Yes, he's our protector, leads us and guides us. All those things are true. But let me tell you, he should be your Messiah. That from this day forward, that means he's your King, your Lord, your God, your Messiah. That from this day forward, if Jesus does nothing else for us, will we serve him? I won't. Now, hey, look. I want to feel the presence of the Lord, just like everybody else. I want God to answer my prayers for my children. I want God to answer my prayers that I have for my spouse and for this church. I want God, but let me tell you, from this day forward, if God does zero else for us, nothing else for us at all, will he still be your Messiah? Hey, I'm in the same boat as you. We're all in the same boat. Our God, our Lord, will we serve him? We got to get to the place that no matter what happens in our lives, people, that we trust. As Peter got out of that boat, I'm going to talk about Peter a little bit. As Peter got out of that boat, when those waves were coming over that boat, and the waves of the world were just crashing in on him, and Jesus told him, get out. And he said, Messiah, is that you? Come on. Get out of that boat. Well, you know, Peter had faith. He got out of that boat and started walking. And even though the things of the world started crashing in, even though the problems of the world started crashing in, and he got his eyes off a little bit of Jesus, and he turned to those things that were coming up and rising up on either side of him, and he started to fall, started to sink. Our Messiah was there for him. God. People, we can rest assured that our Messiah, our God, our Lord, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, is there for us. Yes, you might say, well, Pastor, you know, I've made some mistakes and I've done some wrong things and I've done this. Let me tell you, it's the blood that makes the difference. It's the blood that is the difference. You go to Him and you ask forgiveness and you go on. You say, Father, give me strength, give me power, give me anointing, Lord God, to finish the race set before us. The power of Almighty God. Like I said, when Solomon's temple was dedicated, the walls trembled, the foundation, it said it trembled because of the power of Almighty God. My Lord, what a God we serve. What a God we serve. I've never seen such an age or day. Excuse me. Where Christians struggle all the time. I mean, when I say struggle, I mean struggle all the time. And I know there are evil things out there that comes against the Christian. But I tell you what, when we put our faith and trust in Christ and what He did at Calvary's cross, it makes the difference. It is the difference. That the power of Almighty God has reached out upon us to help us to live a life that is pleasing unto Him. My God. See, we don't have to struggle in this world. We just got to keep our faith in Him. And as we keep our faith in Him, we don't have to struggle. You might say, well, Pastor, aren't you going to fall sometimes? Well, if it happens, you get on your knees. You lift up your eyes towards heaven and you ask forgiveness and you ask the power of God to come in and to help you to live a life that is pleasing unto Him. See, God has given us a victory plan. And that victory plan is putting our faith and trust in what Jesus did at Calvary's cross. And when we do that, the power of Almighty God that He sent in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 10, the Holy Spirit comes and helps us. And lifts us up. And blocks the enemy. Oh my God. Blocks the enemy from doing what he wants to do. Always remember this. That God has more power in the little pinky finger of His than Satan has in his whole body. He's nothing compared to our God. Now, He'll destroy us if we allow Him. Because we have no power except the power of God that's in us.
Yes.
The power of Almighty God. He's given us the power to triumph over evil, to triumph over sin, to triumph over those things. He's given us power and authority. As Peter walked on that water, my God, victory. And even when he started to sink, God came and saved him. That's the power of Almighty. That will take the time to help us in every area of our lives, people. Every area. Every morning, get up and say, Father, I put my faith and trust in what Jesus did at Calvary's cross. That's all I put my faith in. That's it. And let me tell you, the power of Almighty God that will be with you throughout that day will change your life, will change your direction, will help you to have victory in every area of your life. The power of Almighty God. That's Him. That is ready to move. That's Him that's ready to give you victory. That's Him that's ready to heal our bodies and to do a mighty work in us and through us. That's the power of Almighty God. My Lord, my Lord. Jesus has given us a way. You know what? I could pray 24 hours a day and still be the same. Now, prayer is important. We need to pray. And everybody needs to have an Advent prayer life, a time special with you and God. But it's that faith in Him, in Jesus, and what He did at Calvary's cross that gives us victory. That's the victory. That's the victory. that he gives unto his people. The power of Almighty God. He continued to ask them, who do they say that I am? And people, we need to herald it forth that he is the King. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord, our God. That's him. That we never give up on that at all. Who do they say that I am? You are the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah. I want you to turn to Mark chapter 6, please. Mark chapter 6. As Jesus was teaching his disciples, he knew that he would be gone soon. And he did something extraordinary for them. You know, if I come to you and I say, look, man, I prayed with two or three people this week and they received the Lord. Look, we're happy. We're happy, Lord. Okay. But if you come to me and you say, and talking about yourself, you prayed with two or three people and they were saved. My God, it's a totally different thing because God used you. And in Mark chapter 6, it says that Jesus called his disciples together, all 12 of them, and he looked to every one of them and he said, look, from this day forward, this is what I want you to do. Two by two, I want you to go out. See, Jesus could be in one place because he was in a fleshly body. He could be at one place at one time. But Jesus calls his 12 and he says, two by two, I want you to go into Caesarea. I want you to go to Philippi. I want you to go to the Corinthian church. And he sent them all throughout that area. And you know, you might say, well, you know, were they a little shaky? Yeah. But God said he'd be with them. God said he'd be with them. And they went forth and they prayed with people. God healed people. God miraculously changed people's lives. People got saved. The anointing of God moved. The presence and the power of God was upon that area. And they came back and they started to share with Jesus what happened. See, and they were so excited because God had used them. God now has more than just 12 disciples. He has disciples all over the place. Everyone that calls upon the name of the Lord and is saved and receives him is a disciple. He's just saying, go forth. Don't be ashamed of the name of Jesus. Have you noticed lately that everything is just God? And that's okay in a way. But when you say God, that's a big, broad picture. That includes everything that everybody wants to call God. It's a big, broad spectrum. But when they talk about God and you say, well, Jesus, it's like it goes to the bullseye. Jesus. You see, when we say it's only Jesus, it narrows in who he is. Don't be ashamed of who God is. Don't be ashamed of your Savior. Stand up. You might say, well, Pastor, I'm not boisterous. I'm not. Don't shy back. Yeah, your knees might be shaking a little bit. You might be saying, well, I don't know what should I do, but stand up for the things of God. God has given us this community. God has given us this world. God has given us our country. We need to stand up for what is right and stand up for what is good and stand up for our Lord and Savior. We want the power of Almighty God to be shed abroad in this area. And God will bring people across your path, and you just pray with them. You know, they talk about men, they have all kinds of problems, and they will say, look, give me your hand. What do you want? Well, you asked me to pray, let's pray right now. But you know, we're at the store, but that's good. God can move in a store. We're at the park, but God can move at the park. God can move anywhere. You take their hand and you pray to God. And you ask that God would do what they're requesting in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Don't be ashamed. Stand up for what's right and truth. Fight God. We serve a powerful God that has made this world. My God, it has made each and every one of us. How powerful He is. And how God can change the circumstances around. You look in the Old Testament and you see when God said, when God would call the Israelites to go and conquer. And when they did what God wanted them to do, their enemies fell before them mightily. And they would take over that land. Okay. But every time they were disobedient, what would happen? They'd roam around in the desert for 40 years. People, let's not roam around. Now, just in our personal life, let's not roam around. Let's get back to the nitty gritty of things. Let's get back to what God wants to do. Let's get back to who He is. The mighty God He is. My God. People ask me, man, you get so passionate about me. I said, yes. Why wouldn't I be? You know? You have somebody selling a product, aren't they better be passionate about it because you're not going to sell it. Whatever it is. From Avon to car salesman to whatever you're selling, you better be passionate about it. And you might say, well, Pastor, are you selling Jesus? Well, let me tell you, He's the Savior of the world. We need people. We need people to come into the heavens of heavens. We need people to give their lives to the Lord. I'm tired of the devil snatching out people and taking their souls and bringing havoc upon people's lives upon the earth. My God! We can break the chains of bondage. How long are we going to let the enemy have our children? How long are we going to let the enemy have our finances? How long are we going to let the enemy have the area? My God! God says, go forth and get them. Go forth. We do what He said He did. He went to the mountain to pray. And as you pray, the power of God comes in and He comes down and He chooses those to have. The power of Almighty God that works in our hearts and minds. You know, the stirring of the Spirit of God. Ooh, huh? That's good. We need the stirring of the Spirit of God. We need God to move in our hearts and move in our lives like never before. We need the power of Almighty God. We need it, people. We need it in our homes. We need it in our businesses. We need it in our communities. And we need it in our churches. I'm not talking about hyped up stuff. It's no good. I'm talking about a mighty move of the Spirit of God. Look, you ever heard of Azusa Street? I told you some stories about that, huh? Azusa Street Revival. My God. Where they said there was fire on top of those buildings. I mean, look, they had zero. You know, they didn't have chairs like this. They had hay bales they sat on. They had no carpet or anything like that. They didn't even have money to rent a building. They didn't even own a building. And to pray, and God spoke to two ladies to come and give him money that was needed to rent that building. They sat on crates and had crates and hay bales, but I tell you, they'd get in that place and people were healed. Children were healed. Mothers and fathers were healed. My God, that's what we want. God says in the latter days that He would pour out His Spirit. My God, we want the Spirit of God to be poured out, people. We want it. I know you want it and I want it. We're tired of the flake stuff. We want the power of Almighty God shed abroad in our hearts and lives. We want people to walk in repentant state because of the conviction and the power of God that is moving upon their hearts and souls. We want people to walk in that are lame and healed by the power of God. We want people that can't see healed by the power of God. See, that's what God says in the last days that He would pour out His Spirit. He had those 12 disciples. Now He has millions, including us. And look, it says that He's ready to pour it out. Because in the last days, and we know we're living in the last days, don't we? We know that. We can sense it. We can feel it. And buddy, we want the power of God to be manifested like never before in our lives and in the lives of people that we're praying for. That the chains of bondages are broken off of their lives and they can see clearly spiritually and come to the knowledge of God. You don't want to know? Look, there's things out there. What time is it? It's only 11 o'clock. Oh, wow. Well, everybody looked at their watch. That's okay. It's 11:27. The power of Almighty God. We need a move. We've sensed it. We've touched it a little bit. I said, well, how do we do it? We just keep on praying. Asking God to move. And being submissive to the move of God. See, we don't realize. You know, we often say, you know, I've been praying for my family. I've been praying for my children, my family, whatever, to be saved. We don't realize that there are evil spirits out there holding them back. Blinding their eyes from the truth. God has given us the authority. You bind those things, you come against those things, and you tell God, thank you, that they're saved. My God. And you just rely on the Spirit of God to send people their way, or whatever needs to be done, Lord. Lay them upon the altar of God. Now, when you lay them upon the altar of God, you better expect some things to happen. And you may not like what you see happen, but it's worth it for their soul.
Yes, amen.
Power of God. And now God has made his disciples all over the world, declaring the word of the Lord. Unto God's people and unto this world. Praise God. Who do you say? Who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to you? He is your Messiah. He is your Lord. He is your God. Go forth as mighty men and women of God this week, declaring the word of the Lord and seeing God move. My God, you may stand, please. Praise God, praise God. As every head is bowed, please, and every eye closed for just a minute, I want to ask you a very important question. Do you know Jesus? Do you know him? Is he your Lord and Savior this day? If you don't know him and you'd like to accept him as your Lord and Savior, would you please raise your hand? I want to ask you another important question. Do you feel you need to rededicate your life to him this day? Would you, I see your hand. Thank you. Anybody, I see your hand. I see your hand. Anybody else? Anybody else? A rededication saying, Lord, from this day forward, I will do your will. Let's all pray together because we have three people that raised their hands. Repeat this prayer after me. Say, Heavenly Father,
Heavenly Father,
I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins.
I
rededicate
my life to you.
I ask you to lead me, to
guide me,
and to help me.
To live for
you from this day forward.
I believe
that you died on the cross and you rose again from the dead
and
you're seated on the right hand of the Father. I dedicate
everything
I have,
everything
I own to the cause of Christ. Your will be done in my heart and in my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may look this way. Look, I appreciate every one of you. And Jelaine and I.